Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, those of you who are regular Beacon Broadcast listeners know that we have been studying the second epistle of John over the last several days now, really last couple of weeks. You will also remember that this is the second shortest epistle in the New Testament, that it contains 13 verses, and there are three sections, which are the customary sections that you would find in nearly any letter, whether a letter by a Christian, a letter to be included in the Bible, or just a regular letter that was sent to anyone in that day. There is the salutation, that is the opening. There is secondly the body of the letter, and then there is finally a conclusion. Rather simple. The salutation identifies the author and the recipients and extends a greeting or a word of blessing to the recipients. The body, of course, contains the message that the letter is intended to convey, the reason for writing the letter in the first place. And then the conclusion, of course, is the bringing it all to a close, and sometimes is just a mere formality, as in our letters we might sign off by saying warm regards or sincerely yours, or depending what kind, whether how formal the letter is, how much of a business letter or a personal letter. If it's a personal letter, of course, we might say with love and so forth and so on. But in the case of John, we realize that the conclusion is a little more extensive than that and in itself contains some very helpful and interesting information. And that's why we are taking a little bit of time in looking at the conclusion. And we'll continue doing that on this Monday, June 3rd. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for helping us financially to be able to minister in this way. John writes, verse 12 and 13, "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen." And in this conclusion, we see something relating to the value of the written word, some things relating to the value of the spoken word, and some things relating to the value of extended Christian fellowship. And the first one we've already covered, and I hope you've been with us as we've talked about the value of the written word, having many things to write to you in paper and ink. A lot to learn as we think about that particular phrase, but now we move on to the value of the spoken word, because John says, "I did not do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full." Putting it all together, the first and the second part, the written word part and the spoken word part, let's read the whole thing again. "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full." So, though there were more things that John considered writing, in addition to the things that he did write, which are very significant but fairly minimal, John said there were other things that I gave thought to writing, but I decided against it. I decided I would, rather than communicate those things by paper and ink, I would communicate them by a personal visit. And so this gives us the reasons for John's intended visit and emphasizes the importance of the spoken word. We've talked about the importance of the written word, and we can't minimize or undervalue that, but we also need to understand the importance of the spoken word. But first of all, reasons for the intended visit. And these things actually coordinate closely together, but let's take them apart. Reasons for the intended visit. Number one, increased joy. Number two, extensive teaching. And number three, personal fellowship. John communicates his reason for the intended visit relating to increased joy. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that your joy may be full. Or that our joy may be full. Made full, made complete. And so a visit by John to this church would be a cause of joy. Why? Well, when friends have been apart for a while and get together, of course, that brings a certain measure of joy to all of us. We understand that. But there's more than that, because this is related to the things that John intends to say to them. In other words, the truth that is going to be communicated to them, understood by them, complied by them in their lives, and that is going to contribute greatly to the fullness of joy. Joy will find full expression because it is related to the truth. And so joy experienced in the most complete and full measure is related to knowing and obeying the truth. We've been told that before, that knowing and obeying truth brings joy. John isn't the first one to say that. Jesus is. In fact, I have no question in my mind that John is picking up the teaching of his Lord and passing it on at this point. And in this case, he's passing on some things that are recorded in the Gospel of John on the lips of Christ. We also know that other things that John said came from Christ, but we don't have a record of them in the words of Christ, but we have a record of them in the words of John, which the Bible intends for us to understand are one and the same. They are equal. Anyone who indicates that the words of Christ are more important than the words of an apostle does not understand the authority given to apostles and the divine revelation given to apostles, nor does he understand the stated purpose for the apostles, as Christ makes it clear that it was his purpose for the apostles to communicate truth that Jesus did not give while he was upon the earth. He did not have enough time to communicate all of the truth that he wanted to communicate, but more important than that, people weren't prepared to receive it. You have to be able to understand a certain level of truth before you are prepared to understand more truth. And again, I think we all understand that, don't we? There are things that I can understand now because of other things that I know, that I have learned from the Bible, that I could not have understood 30, 40 years ago. Some things not even 5 or 10 years ago. It's an accumulative process. It's an accumulative ability to understand the Word of God. And the more you do understand, the more you are able to understand. The Bible talks in these terms in various ways, but one way is, for example, when it talks about the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word, and tells us that some Christians are not yet able to handle meat. They're still babes. They're still immature and only capable of receiving milk. But how does a human baby, how does a human baby get to the place where he or she is able to eat meat? Well, they've got to start by receiving the milk and benefiting from it. And as they receive the nourishment of the milk, and that allows them to grow and develop, then they move on to other things. They move on to soft foods, applesauce and things of that nature, and continue to increase in their ability to eat stronger and stronger foods, if stronger is the right word, but more complex foods, foods that require more chewing and more that's more involved in the process necessary to get it from the food on the table to the benefit of the body. And that comes only by going through the process from the beginning. You can't get a baby to eat meat simply by saying, eat it, take it, or force it down their throat. It doesn't work. In fact, you'll do them harm. And so we grow in our ability to receive more truth, to understand, to benefit from more truth, because we understand it, but to be able to benefit from stronger meat of the word as we progress by taking in the milk of the word. Some people progress pretty slowly because they aren't taking much in. They're not being very cooperative. They're being too fussy. They're being too negative. They're being too uncooperative in the process in the early stages. This is both true of human babies in some cases. We all know there are some babies that are just eager eaters. I mean, they just can't get enough. They just dive right in. And then there are others that are very fussy eaters, and they're the ones that don't gain much weight, and they're the ones that usually have other problems, and they don't develop as they should. But back to the idea of knowing and obeying truth bringing joy, I refer to this statement by Christ in John 15:11, when he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." What's the connection there between joy? Receiving the word of Christ. "These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may be full." Or in the high priestly prayer of Christ in John 17, verse 13, "But now I come to you," he's speaking to the Heavenly Father, "and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Again, what's the key to the disciples experiencing fullness of joy? It is their receiving the things that Jesus has spoken unto them. And so, yes, there is a connection. I'm not stretching a point here. I'm not shoehorning something into the text that isn't there. This is very much in view when John relates his coming to them to communicate truth to them orally and the increased joy which will come out of that. "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." That John's joy will increase when theirs increases, because he's going to be delighted to see them receiving truth and responding in joy. And so the John and the believers that he's writing to are united in truth, and John and the believers that he's united to are going to share in joy. When John completes his mission and leaves, joy, greater joy, will be left behind because of the truth which he has brought. So, reason number one for his intended visit, increased joy. And we'll take up the next reason on the broadcast tomorrow. Please join me. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.